Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Welcome all, welcome one, welcome all. Ladies and gents, this is Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is your host, Gio, as always. With me is my father and also co-host of Absolute Truth Absolutely, Jesus Martinez.
Well, thank you, Gio, for once again allowing me the privilege of sharing God's word with God's people. It is indeed a privilege, and we don't take this lightly. We understand that it's our responsibility to rightly divide the word of God and teach it accordingly.
Absolutely. Today we want to delve into an argument which most people make. As a matter of fact, it's a phrase that's commonly used, but people do not take the time to actually analyze what it is that they're saying, what it is that they're believing. And this is a very prevalent phrase in our society. And every time I hear someone say it, I cringe. I sincerely cringe because they have not seen the nonsensical nature of this phrase. But in reality, there's something more to it. There's a reason why people repeat it. And it's this phrase of everyone is entitled to make their own mistakes. Everyone has the right to make mistakes. Now, when I hear this phrase, of course, like I said beforehand, it makes me cringe because that is just utter nonsense. If people were to analyze that phrase, if people were to analyze that expression, they'll find out that it's self-contradictory. This is something that you and I have spoken about before, and we'd like to take the time to debunk this because at the very core of this whole, it is an expression now, but it's also, a way for people to use
it. It's an idea. It's a philosophy.
Yeah, it is a philosophy.
It's a way of life for many.
Well, and that's the thing. At the core, there are two things. Number one, justification for evil so that people will not suffer the repercussions or the consequences of their actions. And two, the innocent, they usually go without ever seeing justice performed. But let's dissect this thing first. Let's talk about the word entitled, because I think if we strike it down at the core, everything else crumbles. When we're talking about entitlement, what is it that we're specifically talking about when people use that word entitled?
Well, I am due this, I am due that. Somebody owes me this, somebody owes me that. I am entitled this, I am entitled that. But Gio, when you use the word, or when they use the word rights and mistakes, I have the right to make mistakes. I find that to be contradictory because it is because we have rights that the opportunity appears on the scene to commit, to make mistakes, to commit mistakes. And so I have the right of speech, the right to congregate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if I don't use that right properly, then, or if I am ignorant, then I can make mistakes. But it's very different than saying I have the right to make or commit mistakes. You know, it's a big contradictory. And like you were saying, I believe it's being used so that people will not be corrected, so that repentance and calling people to a proper procedure is taken out of the way. Which, by the way, it's affecting the church. It's affecting the Church of Jesus Christ because today, if you call somebody to correction or repentance, you've got an issue in your hands. Oh, yeah. People do not want to be corrected. And it's not just through this angle that we are looking at this issue. When you look at what is being done in the name of psychotherapy, where sin is no longer called sin, it's a disease, it's an illness. What you have at the end of all these roads, because they converge in one and the same place, is people saying, you will let me do what I want to do. It's my entitlement to do what I want to do. And you, in no way, shape, or form, will correct me.
But that's a springboard, is it not, from this whole idea which says that rights are inherent in everything. For example, modern-day Occupy Wall Street, they say a job is a right. But in reality, when you look at it inherently, it's not a right. It's someone else worked to build up that business, and it's a privilege to work. It's a privilege to be able to work.
Look, it's faulty thinking, Gio. I saw a clip yesterday where Jesse Jackson was talking about how Jesus occupied the temple. And then this commentator, I believe his last name is Beckel, he's saying that... Yeah,
oh, Bob Beckel, yeah.
Yeah, that Jesus was an occupier because, you know, he occupied the temple. Or Jackson, I'm sorry, was saying that Jesus was an occupier, and then Beckel said that Jackson was correct because Jesus occupied the temple. How can you occupy something that you own? How can you call somebody an occupier, somebody who has taken that over when, you know? The Bible says, this is my house of prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. So how can he be called an occupier?
Yeah.
But this is the faulty thinking that goes on. And since it's somebody with a name, somebody with a reputation, people go, oh, yeah, that's right. He must be right. How can you call Jesus an occupier?
Yeah, they don't take the time to question what it is that these people are saying, what they're spewing out. But it's the same thing with this phrase. It's been commonly, it's very prevalent in our society, and people just repeat it because it sounds nice. But in reality, what happens here is that it appeals to them. Why? Because if they don't have to face the music, if you will, for their consequences, they say, oh, I'll adopt that because that sounds good to me.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Today, the word occupied is used to describe a person or a group taking over a place that they feel, you know, somebody else has it or that
entitled.
They should have it.
But you said it earlier. Entitled. They feel entitled to that. This is the whole part of the whole Occupy Wall Street and Occupy movement. We're
exactly.
entitled to it.
And so to call Jesus an occupier, to me, it's absurd. I'm not going to go around saying it's blasphemy, but it is ridiculous, and it shows how today's thinking is trending.
Yeah.
And once again, I believe people do not want to be corrected. People do not want to be called to repentance. And so one of the ways to do this is to call it a right.
Well, but here's the thing. If you look at this argument in and of itself, it's fallacious. It's something that is so nonsensical. Why? Because in essence, when you're saying, I'm entitled to it, when someone says I'm entitled, they say I'm deserving of a particular favor, item, grace, whatever the case may be. What they're saying is that they deserve an opportunity to make mistakes. You were pointing out something earlier that is so true. Rights come with responsibilities, but these people don't see it that way. What they see is that, no, a right is a right no matter what I do. In other words, in their minds, there is no opportunity to forfeit a right. If that's the case, because we understand that the truth is universal, then we would have to eliminate all of our court systems. We would have to eliminate all of the justice system, because in reality,
it was my right.
It was
a mistake, but it's my right.
Exactly. Let's use this as an example, and I've used this with people, and they tend to tell me, well, that's kind of a harsh example. No. If truth is universal, which it is, there is absolute truth, then it's applicable in all phases of life. If I kill somebody, let's say someone's daughter.
By mistake.
And I go up to that mother and father who are grieving now because the life of their daughter has been taken away from them. I say, you know what? Right to their faces. Don't I have a right to make mistakes? Am I not entitled to make mistakes? Someone will say, oh, that's an egregious example. You have to pay for your errors. Oh, wait a minute. So now what you're saying is that you're selective in which errors you should pay for. What I see from this, offspringing from all of this, is the following. We've got people now trying to excuse away blunders, trying to excuse away the evil doing, the wrongdoing on their part, and them not wanting to pay the consequence for it. And as a society, because we adopt these types of ideologies, like this little phrase that it seems benign, but it is not, I'm entitled to make my mistakes, I'm entitled to commit my errors. When we let those things pass by, then we're saying to the evildoer, you know what? Just go ahead and continue to do what you do, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be punished for it.
This is why you have in your law system first-degree murder, second-degree murder, manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, because it all depends on what is moving you, what catapulted you to the actions that you took. And so, Gio, when somebody says, I have a right to a mistake, well, how about if your mistakes hurt me, if they damage me? If in any way, shape, or form I come out on the losing end of your mistakes, I'm going to take you to court. You're going to go before a judge. And you can't tell the judge, I have a right to these mistakes, because he's going to throw the book at you.
Yep.
Because there is no such thing. Now, the reason why we make mistakes is, well, that's an ample territory right there, because we're ignorant, because we are rebellious, and even rebellious is kind of iffy out there.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's because we have rights.
Yeah.
But these rights come wrapped in responsibilities. And if you don't understand the obligations that come along, that tag along with the rights, then you're going to make a lot more mistakes than the rest, and you're still going to pay whether you choose to believe or not that you don't have the right to make mistakes.
Yeah.
I see it all over the place, even in commercials. You deserve this. You have a right to this. Come on, you know you deserve this. And I'm going like, wow, this entitlement mentality is saturating our society.
Well, I never thought that it would reach the points that it has. For example, at one point, I thought, well, this might thing, you know, this whole thing might stop with, well, I'm entitled to a favor. But now we see that this has even gotten into the moral argument when we're arguing, you know, when we're making our case today. And it's not really a case that has to be made. It's just logic. It's simple logic, but people are bypassing that nowadays because they complicate, they convolute the issues, they cloudy them, they muddy them up. And what I see with all of this is the following. I see that there are people that are using this phrase. For example, young people, teenagers, and adolescents, they love to use this with respect to trying to evade the mistake, you know, the repercussions that they're going to feel on behalf of the parents. What do I mean by this? Well, mom and dad have set rules. They've set guidelines for the child. And they say something that's out of the ordinary. They do something that is against those rules and regulations. And then the first excuse that they usually spew out towards the parents, and they do it pale-faced. I mean, I don't understand how they have the audacity to do this, but they do it. Mom and dad, I'm entitled to make my mistakes. Sometimes I just wish that I had, how would I say this lightly? Sometimes I wish I had a rod so I can beat the back out of the kids that say this. And somebody might say, well, that's really violent. But it's such a nonsensical, such a foolish
argument.
And then
if you overwhoop them, you have the right to that mistake.
Well, that is, you know, that's a good point. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Oops, I made a mistake, son. I'm sorry. I'm entitled to my mistakes.
I overwhooped you. It's true. I overdid it.
it's my mistake. I'm entitled to make those mistakes. But, you know, at one point or another, you have to see the fallacy within such an argument. Because I see especially this young generation that has been reared on this entitlement mentality of I deserve it. Even though I didn't work for it, even though I didn't do anything to earn it, I deserve it. And now it's even crept in into the moral argument of the sphere, if you will.
Look, Gio, if you make a mistake towards me, towards my person, and I decide to show you kindness and say, hey, it's okay, it doesn't mean that you have the right to obligate me to show you kindness.
Well, but that's the thing. That's the thing. You see people that they take advantage of that kindness. They take advantage.
Well, now you impose kindness on me. I have to be kind. I have to be forgiving. And so, you know, as a Christian, I heard what Jesus said, 70 times 7. But nevertheless, it's still a choice. And that is his teaching to me when he shows me, look, if they sin against you, be kind. Forgive 70 times 7. But you know what happens? The transgressor is taking a look at that and saying, yeah, yeah, that's right. You have to forgive me 70 times 7. Wait a minute. Jesus was talking to me about being kind, not about you abusing the kindness that he's calling me onto.
Yep.
And so, once again, we have this twisting of biblical truth. We have this twisting of moral truth that is taking us to a place where I don't know if we can get back from this place that as a society we find ourselves in.
Yeah, in other words, these people are seeing forgiveness as a sort of get out of, you know, jail free card, get out of there, and they can continue to use it. And they abuse that. And now they're expecting you to, every time they make a mistake, even though it is intentional, not unintentional, it is intentional, they want you to keep forgiving them every single time over and over again.
And even if it wasn't intentional, I'm not obligated to be kind to you.
Yeah.
I'm not obligated to forgive you. You see, if Jesus teaches me forgive 70 times 7, I go, okay, this is something that as a Christian I want to do.
Yeah.
But if I don't, you're still responsible for your transgression.
Yep, exactly.
So Jesus is dealing with me on the fact that as a human being I can become hardened in my heart and refuse to forgive, period.
Yeah.
And at the end, it damages me. But that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the mental state, with the completely wrong idea that if I am the transgressor, I have the right to demand from you kindness and forgiveness, and that in no way, shape, or form shall there be any repercussions upon myself or because of my activities. And that is wrong.
Well, you know what I've also noticed? That this also seems to, especially with the transgressor himself or herself, this is a way for them to find a scapegoat. It's a scapegoat way of them to be able to say, you know what, you Christians, you have to forgive me because it says so in the Bible. And again, your point is well taken and a very good one in that, where now they want to abuse that. And I want to touch upon this point again because it's important that we deal with this. And I see that these people are constantly tooting this horn of, no, you Christians, you have to be people who forgive. Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, they don't even know where it is, by the way. Doesn't it say somewhere that you have to forgive 70 times 7, this, that, and the other thing?
And don't judge me.
And don't judge, exactly.
I know that's in there somewhere.
Exactly. And then you see that, but what I'm seeing is that the criminal person, the person who's a criminal, the wrongdoer, then we're letting them get away with murder, using the expression. We're letting them get away with everything because now they don't have to pay the price. So now what happens in society is that when the criminals and the wrongdoers, they see that other wrongdoers are not paying the price, or those that are thinking, are premeditating on doing wrong to others, they see that the criminals, they go unpunished. They feel no restraint. They feel like, okay, since I'm not going to be punished, I'll do it because I see that he got away with it, she got away with it, he got away with it. And it even works in a microcosmic way with young people. Why? They see that they get away with this stuff, you know, with their parents and stuff. And they say, you know what, let me go ahead and try this with my parents and see if they give me that amount of libertinism. And when they see that it works, then they keep pushing that envelope.
It's all over society. It used to be that you were stepped on and the person who stepped on you said, I'm sorry. Now, without saying a word, he or she looks at you and basically tells you, by their look, I have a right to step on you, and you shall take it and enjoy it. You have people putting on their blinkers, their turning signals, to pass from one lane to another. And if you decide not to stop or let them through, they'll curse you.
Yeah.
They'll curse at you. They'll remind you about who your mother is, your grandmother, and your great-grandmother, just because you didn't let them in, because they have a right. Once they put that blinker, once they put that signal, they have a right to that lane.
Yeah.
But there are rules even in driving, and if I choose not to let you into my lane, and you choose to obligate, force yourself in there, you just violated traffic laws, and you're going to get ticketed if a police officer knows the law, because you just failed to yield the right of way.
Yeah.
But even police officers today are saying, you should have let him in.
Yeah.
You should have let them in.
Instead of them also keeping by the law, they start looking via the way, or the way, rather, let me say it this way. They're seeing things through the eyes of the transgressor, not through the eyes of the
innocent. They're imposing courtesy and imposing kindness. And once you impose courtesy and kindness, it stops being courtesy and kindness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there is no such thing as I have a right to mistakes.
Yeah. Well, and there's the other part of it, because you bring up an interesting point, and it's this. What about the innocent? The innocent never get to see righteousness. They never get to see justice actually fulfilled, because the innocents are the ones who are being trampled upon by those that are doing wrong. And those that are doing wrong, they don't feel, hey, I don't have to ask for forgiveness. I don't have to be contrite. I don't have to change my ways, because anyways, it's my right to do wrongdoing. And the innocent, they're left out there, the innocent bystanders, and they never, ever get to see righteousness or justice fulfilled.
And so at the end of the day, people would ask, so why are you arguing about these things? Because as a Christian, I need to make sure that the tide of modern thinking doesn't get a hold of me and drag me along.
Yeah.
So I'm clear. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be courteous. But I'm also understand that you don't have a right to impose on me that I be kind and courteous.
Yep.
When you decide to trample upon me and, make your mistakes and decide that I have to live with it and enjoy it because it's your right. No, it's not. If I choose to be kind, if I choose to be merciful, I will be. You have no right to impose that on me.
You know, it's amazing that we even have to delve on these issues. I've thought about this over and over again. These things are common sense. But we live in a society now that has totally kicked to the curb common sense. And this is why we have to deal with these things in an effective manner, so that those that are in the trap, those that are entrapped in this, diabolical snare, that they would get out of it as soon as possible, because the more and more this drags people to the depths of hell, because it does, the more and more we see that our society suffers and the innocent continue to suffer and there's never any righteousness brought about. So I think that it's important that we deal with these things. And, you know, hopefully those that are listening to us, especially the young people, they will not be, you know, tempted or deceived with these things, because there are those within the society, within their own circle, we're talking about teachers, even parents, that have adopted what we have spoken about today.
Well, I'll say this in closing. Let the young people know that this mentality doesn't fly with God. Hmm. Adam never said to God, I have a right to make these mistakes. When he indirectly blamed God by saying, well, you put Eve in my life, and then Eve said, you left the serpent, they are still paying, we're still paying for those consequences. But if we read the Bible carefully, neither in the Bema Seat of Christ nor in the White Throne Tribunal will man have the right to say, I have a right to make mistakes. So I would tell young people, in closing, I would tell young people, be careful with today's mentality. It doesn't fly with God.
Yeah, it does not. So we want to thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope that it has been a blessing to your life and to those that surround you. Thank you once again for being with us, Dad. If you have any emails, any comments, any suggestions for future shows that you want to send our way, please do so by writing to us at ata@lwym.org, ata@lwym.org. Also visit our website, lwym.org/ata, and check out any past episodes and share those around. We are giving by grace by what we have received by grace, of course. So thank you for listening, and until the next occasion that we meet, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ata. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.